Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Have you been to the store lately? Have you seen the shelves that are empty? Have you seen the prices of the things that we are now attempting to buy? I would suggest if you're going to do anything in your house, you do it now, because pretty soon, not only will things not be available, but the prices will be so ridiculously high, nobody will be able to afford them. I read an article that housing prices are up at least a third just because of the price of lumber. Oh my goodness. Have you noticed the lack of salespeople? No one in the store to help you? Have you been to the gas pump lately? Do you see the prices of gas? Would you be surprised if I said to you all of this is being done on purpose? Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to destroy the goose that laid the golden egg? The American people, why are we on the list to be destroyed? Well, we're on the list to be destroyed because the communists, the globalists, can never have a middle class. A middle class is usually a group of free thinkers who are entrepreneurial in their endeavors, in their careers, and they come up with alternative ideas, which are never allowed to come to fruition in any communist regime. Hello, everyone. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. And education, yes, it starts in school, but it filters throughout our lives. The things that we learn in school, the things that our children learn, well, guess what? They grow up and they move into society. And when they move, they take those ideas with them. And part of that problem is what is being taught in our schools. Yes, we are focusing on critical race theory, but I will bet you, if you go and do a Google search of any textbook that's coming out now, you'll never find the words critical race theory. Why? Because they have replaced them with warm, fuzzy words like diversity and equity and inclusion and social justice, which all mean exactly the same thing. How to segregate people, how to make some feel like victims, and how to cancel others. And we are very lucky today because I have invited Kathleen Marquardt on the show. She has written incredible articles about cancel culture and what cancel culture is doing to our society. Kathleen, welcome to the show. But before we go on, I'd like you to tell everyone where they can find your incredible articles.
Thank you. I really appreciate you inviting me on, Karen. My articles are on AmericanPolicy.org, where I am the vice president, and they're on News with Views. And you can probably find them a lot of other places. Just Google my name and you'll get them.
Oh, that is fantastic. Kathleen, you wrote in a couple of articles, but the one that struck me the most was your description of what cancel culture is and what it's doing. Would you please share that with everyone?
Cancel culture is cultural Marxism, which Marx started it. Cancel culture is a tool being used by the Marxists and the global elite who just want to control the world. They have begun to work together to take over the world, to make a one world government. And in order to do that, they have used asymmetrical warfare, which doesn't use bombs and guns and tanks, unless they really need them. So what they're using is cancel culture. Cancel culture includes political correctness. It includes taking down statues. It's embedded into our schools, into our whole government. But what it does, using these tools to attack us, and we don't see how to strike back. We need to expose them, but they have control of the media. So we have to do it on social media, the sites that don't kick us off because we use at least. But cancel culture is out to destroy Christianity and Western culture. These are the two goals, because these are the two goals of cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism uses the Hegelian dialectic, which is a farce, but they've taken it and they use the terms of the Hegelian dialectic to start attacking all the issues they want. They say, let's go with racism, because that's the big issue. They say, America is a racist. It has racist foundations. We have to get rid of America because they had slavery. Therefore, they were bad. Constitution has to go. Every property rights have to go. To them, you have to understand. One very good key to it is morality itself is an illusion. Think about that. They're destroying everything that represents morality in our country. And they're doing it very, very well. As you pointed out, it's all in our schools. And that's where they got it well started back way back in the early part of the last century. People don't understand today that this school system that was set up by the Rockefeller Foundation and Thomas Dewey and all the Marxists that were in the Frankfurt School, people need to understand you have to know your enemy if you're ever going to beat them. Most people out in America have no idea of what these people that are supporting Black Lives Matter, that are screaming that our schools need to be opened up only for non-white people, the people that are screaming about white privilege, they do not understand the basis. And of course, let me put a little caveat here. The people that are in Black Lives Matter, the people that are screaming white privilege, all of these, they don't know what they're fighting either. They're just angry, and they've been given a cause. They've been dumbed down in the schools. They have not been given any basis for morality in the past 50 years in our school. I probably shouldn't say quite so many. Let's say 40 years. They have been given the moral relativism, which means what you think is good, and what I think is good is good, and anybody can have any of their good except if you're a white, especially male Christian, then none of what you say is good. So is that a sort of an overview that you wanted, or did I?
You were terrific and very much appreciated in the explanation. And I think you are right. I don't think people realize the depth of these programs that are just merely brainwashing our kids. Because if you look at many of the adults who are doing the protesting, well, they're white. So here we have the white people screaming that the white people are racist. How does that work? None of this ever works. And if we go back and we look in history, which of course is no longer taught, because that also has been canceled and erased for that particular reason. If you don't cancel the culture, then you have opposition. And globalists / communists can never have opposition. Their answer to opposition is either we will brainwash you, we will re-educate you, and in the end, if you don't come out the way we want you to come out, we'll kill you because We don't really care. There's no value of human life. I believe you're 100% right on morality, but I would think it goes back even further to the 60s when God was taken out of the schools, when God was the entity that was no longer able to be discussed. And that's one of the reasons I believe that the pledge is taken out of the schools, because in the pledge, you are pledging and you are saying that God is our creator. You're also saying that America is a republic, and both of those things the communists can never have. You're right, Kathleen, is, I believe, the crux of the Western world, because belief in God is what keeps us in line in our morality. Freedom and liberty were never meant that what I want to do and what I feel can overplay what you're doing and the way you feel. That's not freedom and morality. Freedom and morality and liberty are supposed to be so that if I do something, it's not supposed to affect anybody else. So what's right for me may not be right for you, and that's okay, because in America, we all must do what's right, but without hurting or harming anyone else. And when the harm comes, it's now it has cast aside, like what we saw this past summer last year, the value of property, the way that they value property is, it's okay, it's insured, it can be destroyed, it doesn't matter. And you made many articles that have to do with property rights. So how does that fit into all of this?
You have to understand, and their property rights must be erased. Let me read you a quote, and this quote pretty much tells it all. It is from Habitat One, which was the Vancouver Declaration in 1976, which told us exactly what Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the Green New Deal are all going to be about, because those are all the same thing. And let me just read you this one quote, and it should clear up a lot for people. Land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset, controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore contributes to social injustice. And if unchecked, it may become a major obstacle in the planning and implementation of development schemes. The provision of decent dwellings and healthy conditions for the people can only be achieved if land is used in the interest of society as a whole. Public control of land use is therefore indispensable. That tells you. Yeah, think about that. This was in 1976. They told us what they were going to do. This is also in the preamble of the 1992 Rio Declaration. This private land ownership, now they're mentioning land, but you and I both know is when they start talking about private ownership, it's private property rights. And land isn't the only thing that's property. And you, as you said in the introduction, if you do not own property, the only thing you own are your thoughts, because they can own your body, your house, your children, and they're going for your children. Don't even think they're not. So we need to understand that there is this, all everything they say is a lie. Everything they say is a lie. And because they don't believe in morality, they think that lying is just wonderful. In fact, here's a quote from an article on the Frankfurt School. Communist ethics make it the highest duty to act wickedly. This is the greatest sacrifice revolution asks from us. Human agency is null. We are mere dupes of the system until we repudiate it outright. We must be saying no to every aspect of political correctness, cancel culture, all of it, because it is out to destroy us. And Marxism is only about destroying. It is not about building up. So when they talk about build back better, well, there is no better once you have Marxism. It's only destructive, and it's only planned destructive. They don't want good. Everything that they say is bad is a lie. So you know what is good. They say private property is bad. Christianity is bad, and they have to get rid of Christianity in order to shut down America, because our Constitution and our government was built on Christian principles. And therefore, if they can wipe out Christianity, which they're doing a great job of doing, then they can get rid of America, and the world is theirs.
Yes, America is the only country right now that is really standing in the way of their total takeover. However, I did read an article last week with good news, and it says that the populist movement, the nationalist movement, whereby people have allegiance to their own country and allegiance to each other and to their neighbors, is making a big resurgence in Europe, and it is not being reported by the communist media. Of course not, because they can't allow anyone to understand that we really are in the majority. There are more of us than them right now. If we allow this to continue, I believe within 12 years, by the time these kids graduate school, there won't be any hope, because there won't be enough of us. So now is our time where we have to act. Now is the time when we have to have an understanding of what's going on. And now is the time when we have to fight back with the truth. And the truth and factual information is our best weapon, and we have to use it. So one of the things that I advocate is that anytime you see any of these articles, and they, as Kathleen said, when you read one of the leftist articles, you have to say, oh, they're talking about the election fraud and how there isn't election fraud. Well, obviously that means there is election fraud. So you have to think in opposite terms. Otherwise, you will get caught up in and begin to fight them on their level, and we never want to do that. What we want to do is make them prove what they're saying, which they can't, because everything is a lie. I believe, as you wrote, Kathleen, that this is an extreme takeover through the schools, whereby they are brainwashing our kids into believing that they should be doing more for less, and that everything has to come out equal. And they don't call it equal, they call it equity. And as you just read, what happens in those communities? I read that Biden has put back Obama's affirmatively furthering fair housing. Could you explain that and how that works?
Affirmatively furthering fair housing. This was such an abomination. It is what happens is, you know, all this multi-story, multi-family housing that's being built, where there's, if you want to do any development, if you want to put in a development, it has to have X percentage of Blacks, Asians, all the different, even if they're not in the area, you have to have all these restrictions, all of these, it has to have so many houses, so much housing for neighborhoods like you have now around the country that have fancy neighborhoods like Chevy Chase, Maryland, or Potomac. You have to, you're supposed to have all these blended neighborhoods. You have to follow all their rules.
And this is in order to get a grant?
This is in order to get permission to build in an area. And if you don't do it, you're fined millions of dollars.
So what they're doing is they are redesigning. They're actually going over what a zoning board might say is okay by imposing these rules on a zoning board. So they're rezoning the areas. Is that what's going on?
Well, they've already rezoned just about every area in the country through their having every city rewrite their master plan. You know, they do that. I don't know how often, but in the past, I would say in the past 10, 15 years, just about every city has done it and put all these sustainable things already in it. But this is it on steroids. And
well, as a clear understanding of this, one of the rules of the affirmatively furthering fair housing is that there will be no more single family housing.
Yep.
And single family housing was the American dream. All Americans strive to make their own lives successful for them and their family so they could buy that little house with the picket fence and live there peacefully. That was the family dream. Well, our kids are now being taught that that does not exist. And that's the white people talking, so that if you're an affluent Black, you don't exist to them. If you are an affluent white, it's your fault and you are the oppressor because some other individual couldn't have the house that you're living in. And they have rezoned the communities to eliminate single family homes and replace them with the multi-unit dwellings. Now, didn't we just go through a pandemic where people living on top of each other were told they can't live on top of each other? They have to socially distance. How do you do that in a community when everybody is on top of each other in these high-rise pack 'em, stack 'em houses? That doesn't work very well, does it?
Well, let me say this. AFFH is, the purpose of it is to further enforcement of smart growth through social justice standards instead of the rule of law. And the social justice standards say, like you say, single family homes are racist, they're white privilege, and they need to be replaced. AFFH wants to put all these, you know, what they do is take a lot of these broken neighborhoods and they demolish them and put in new housing. And the people that lived and had their businesses in there can no longer afford to be there. But the bigger thing is, number one, single family homes are private property. You have the use of all of that property. There's nobody that says you can only use it this way or that way or another way. I mean, yes, they have zoning, but I mean, you can add to your house, you can tear it up, you can do whatever you want. If you live in a multi-unit place, you're really only renting that unit. You are not buying it. It isn't yours to do what you want to do with it. Let me back up just a second on the ideal communist city. The apartments are also going to be a certain size per depending on how many people. And if you have small children, of course, there's going to be more room and you'll have to move apartments when you have more kids, if they allowed you to have them. But your kids will be going to their schools. This isn't, I mean, they already go into their schools, but they're going to be total control of your kids in the schools now. And you'll be able to have them with you, but you will not control what your children learn or anything else. And as far as equity, that what this equity thing is that everybody has to have equal everything. If I have 16 carrots, you get 16 carrots. And if you don't have them, I got to split them. Everybody has to have everything equal. But everything, think about this. Washington State just says, in order to go to college, there's no exams. You don't have to pass any exams. And so when you go to law school, you're not going to have to pass the bar. Think about that. Think about that because they want, excuse my language, they want stupid people that they can control being lawyers. I mean, they already control the teachers through the unions and the school boards and everything. But now they want to control, they want to dumb down even those that need to know something. But of course, if all the laws are the same, communist laws, which means you don't own anything, there's not going to be a lot of need for lawyers, is there? Because property is one of the big things that people are sue over. People need to understand the deep down of this because your mind cannot grasp it. Your mind is a logical thinking mind that cannot grasp, but it's all right to let rapists go free in our country because they're illegal aliens and we need to cater to them.
Hold that thought. And we will be right back, folks. You're listening to Karen Schoen and Kathleen Marquardt, and we are talking about cancel culture and what it is doing to America. We will be right back. And I'd like to talk about the dumbing down, because instead of raising the standards and producing excellence, we're lowering the standards and producing idiots.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen, and we are listening to Kathleen Marquardt, who is my guest today. We are talking about cancel culture and what cancel culture is actually doing to America as we are dumbing down our students. So instead of raising the bar and looking for excellence under every single rock that we can find so that America stands and becomes and is the shining star for everyone to emulate, we are lowering the standards. We are lowering the bar. And Kathleen talked about lowering the bar in the legal field, but it's not just there, is it, Kathleen? I read an article that the American Medical Association is now choosing doctors by diversity. How does that work?
It's perfect for them because they're destroying the medical field. But let me give you a good reason why they're doing this. The Brock Chisholm, who was the first Secretary General of the World Health Organization, you know, World Health, okay, he said this, and this was some time ago. To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. We have been very slow to rediscover this truth and to recognize the unnecessary and artificially imposed inferiority, guilt, and fear, commonly known as sin, which produces so much of the social maladjustment and unhappiness in the world. For many generations, we have bowed our necks to the yoke of the conviction of sin. We have swallowed all manner of poisonous certainties fed us by our parents, our Sunday and day school teachers, our politicians and priests. He said it. They want to dumb us down.
And they are doing an incredible job of exactly that. And of course, to me, it starts in the schools, but it filters throughout everything. Imagine, are we now, they're doing it in the military. I don't know if you had a chance to see the ad, but the ad for the American military is a disgrace. I can't imagine anyone wanting to join a wussy military, and filled with racism. Does that mean that if a white soldier now gets a hit on the field, that everybody else is going to leave him there because he's white? Is that the way this is going to work? What do you think, Kathleen?
They are destroying our military. Like you say, I've seen the ad. I mean, the minute they started saying they're going to provide transsexual surgery for the people in the military, think about the people that they're drawing into the military. If you want to draw sick, twisted people, you offer them these surgeries for free, right? I mean, it costs money to get those surgeries unless you're an illegal alien in the United States. But I mean, think about it. They don't want the best anymore. They want garbage. But I want to say this. Our government back in the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and was in one of my articles, gave China to the Russian Marxists to take China over and make it Marxist. And this was during World War II. So think about our government has, the deep state has been working for all these decades to tear America down.
You are so right. And that is exactly what has been going. And this is something that we, the people, have to stop, because nobody else is going to stop it for us. Any ideas of what the people can do in order to recognize what's happening and hopefully gather together and put an end to some of this?
I have three suggestions. One, take your kids out of the schools now and homeschool. It isn't hard. It doesn't cost a lot. It doesn't take a lot of time. Get the pastors in the churches to go back to speaking out of the Bible and nothing else. And set up freedom pods. We at American Policy Center are promoting and pushing. You take back your city, your county, and your state. You start in your city. You take it back by you have our people elected to every office. And that means somebody you know. You don't go interview with these people because they're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. You got to know the people you're putting in the office. We have to take back our towns, our cities right away, because things are probably going to fall apart pretty soon and we're going to be on our own. We also have to go after our states while we're doing this, but our cities and counties are the most important because these are where we live. We have to take a map. We allowed this in the 60s. You all know rules for radicals and all that. So we're responsible. But the bigger thing is we older people are the only ones that remember America and what it really was and needs to be again. We are the only ones with all that in our brains, and that's why they want to wipe us out. So we've got to hurry up. and educate the young people, but we have to be fighting this right now ourselves, but we have to know what we're fighting.
Absolutely. And that is of utmost importance. And I'm going to add something else to your list, Kathleen. We've got to get into our school boards. We have to get the right people on the school boards, not the people who will be bought off by the unions and the textbook companies, but the people who will stand up and be strong and say, no, we will not allow our children to be indoctrinated. However, I do like the idea of homeschooling, and you are absolutely correct. It is not difficult, and you don't have to spend 1,000 hours, because a majority of the things that go on in school have nothing to do with education to begin with. Remember, if you can read, teach someone else to read. Ask your children, ask your grandchildren to read something for you. You will be appalled at their lack of ability to read. And as Frederick Douglass said, if you can't read, you are forever a slave. And I did paraphrase that. But that's where slavery comes from. When you can't read a document in front of you and you are relying on somebody else to interpret that for you, how do you know they're interpreting the right thing? So again, get involved in your local government. And one of the things that we should be doing is getting involved in our precincts, because the precincts have been taken over by the rhinos, because we are not going to precinct meetings. We are not signing up. And one of the things that is of utmost importance is being involved, and you can be involved locally in your own precinct. Get involved, get elected, because once you become elected, those people who are in office pay attention to what the precinct leaders say. Why would they do that? Because that's where a large portion of their money comes from. So getting involved with your precinct is of utmost importance. Thank you so much, Kathleen. I really appreciate your knowledge and the fact that you have shared it with us. Can you please tell everyone where they can find you? Because your articles are absolutely spot on and need to be read and shared. Once you learn something, don't keep it to yourself, because applying knowledge is power. Having knowledge and not using it doesn't mean anything. So we want to apply the things that we're learning. Kathleen, where can everyone find you?
At AmericanPolicy.org and News with Fuse.
Okay, so please go and read Kathleen's articles. She has done a tremendous job on cancel culture, explaining it and explaining its tentacles. And once you read this, it's the truth. And once a great thing about the truth is, once you learn it, you can't unlearn it. So we have to be immersed in the truth. We have to be involved in what is true and not believe what we are reading with our own eyes that come from the leftist mobsters who have only one goal, and that is to destroy America and the Americans that live here. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you, Karen. That was enjoyable.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Well, we have just had an incredible session with Kathleen Marquardt, and I hope everyone understands the importance of property rights, and that your property rights don't mean your house. It is all of your possessions, everything you own, including your person. And I get the decision that's going to have to be made is, who do you want to be in control of your property rights, you or the government? And of course, the communist globalists say, we should be in charge. Well, what gives them the right to make decisions for the rest of us? Nothing. And we have to stand up. And that has been one of our biggest problems as America has swallowed the silent majority pill and have carried that through way too long. And it's time to step out and do things that you can be proud of. Show your courage. That is so important. And while we're speaking about courage, one of the things that we should always mention and always keep in our mind is Memorial Day. And Memorial Day weekend is upon us. What is Memorial Day? Oh, Karen, it's a time to go shopping. They have all these wonderful sales. Think to yourself, how many more things do I need that will support the communist Chinese? Because that's what you're supporting. Every dollar you spend helps build the communist Chinese military. Is that what you want? I don't think so. I don't think those that were honored on Memorial Day should be thinking about whether or not we are going shopping to spend money to support the communist Chinese military. No, no, no. Memorial Day was a day that we remembered our fallen heroes, all of those wonderful men and women who fought to save America, to bring freedom, to make sure that our children were able to have freedom and liberty. And they didn't think of whether or not they were Christian or Jewish or one race or another race. It didn't make any difference to them. And so, Pastor Rick, I see you have joined me today. Thank you so much. What do you think about the Memorial Day situation and the lack of understanding of what it really means?
Well, you're exactly right. We don't need to find reasons to buy more things that will fill up our closets and our garages and we will end up throwing away someday. We need to think about things that are far beyond that. And I think the reason we get caught up in some of these shopping holidays is partly because of the influence of all of the media advertisements that come our way. But it's also partly because we've lost a sense of that which is transcendent. We've lost a sense of what it means to have duty and honor and sacrifice. And those kind of things stretch us toward the higher plane of living as opposed to settling for more plastic widgets. And we need to recapture that. That's what Memorial Day was. It started out being called Decoration Days. Probably some of our listeners remember that. And it really was a time that the nation would pause and remember the people who had gone before them. It was focused on those men and women who lost their lives in defense of the country. And in nearly every city, in nearly every little town across the country, there were cemeteries where the honored dead had been laid to rest, and people went to remember and to give thanks. And they went and they took flowers and they cleaned up the graveyards. They made it special because they did not want to forget duty, honor, sacrifice. We need to remember that too.
Yes, and duty, honor, and sacrifice did not come in different colors. It didn't come in different ethnic flavors. It came because they were Americans and they believed in America and the values that America presented and the opportunities that America presented. And nothing was so sad to read how the military is now adopting critical race theory, and they will be choosing their officers by race. How is that going to work? What happens to that soldier that's on the field if he gets injured? What do his brothers turn around and say, no, we're not going to help you because you're white or you're black or you're a different ethnicity? It never worked that way in the military. Everyone cared for everyone because you had one common goal, one common message. And believe it or not, that message was to keep America great. That was the idea, the shining city on the hill, the example for the rest of the world to see. And look at what we have become. I find it so sad that the military and all of our other agencies are adopting this garbage. What do you think we can do about it, Pastor?
Well, I think we keep calling people to a better way of thinking and a higher way of thinking. All of this emphasis on critical race theory just reminds us that we are settling for less than what we really can be. We're settling for less than what God has called us to be. And you're right, on a battlefield, all of those men and women are focused on the mission. They realize they are there for a purpose, and they are united and pulling together to get the job done. And that's unifying. That brings people together. We need to recognize that when the advocates, whether in the military or other places, of things like critical race theory are talking about that, all they're doing is driving a wedge between people, and they have no solution on the back end of that. All it does is divide people and tear down the things that we've all come to realize need to be built up. And we need to recapture that sense that there is something that pulls us all together and pulls us forward. And Memorial Day is a good time to remember that, because we all can remember the stories. We all have stories in our families of the men and women who joined the military and served with honor. We all have talked to people who remember the men and women who didn't come back. And that is something we need to remind ourselves. That's why we have the holiday, not to forget, but to remember. So when we tend to forget, and we do, that's sort of the human condition. When we tend to forget, we need to use holidays like this to remember, to remind each other, and especially to remind our children that there were people that didn't come home so you could enjoy a picnic today. And they are glad you're enjoying that picnic, because that's what they did. And they wouldn't have done differently, even though it cost them their life.
And that's what we have to remember. We have to remember the good and what we have accomplished since then, and not allow this negativity to cloud everything we do. Because as Pastor Rick just said, these people that are putting these policies in place, they don't care about you. They don't care about America. They are beyond America. They look at the world, and what they're interested in is the world. And the only thing that these policies do is drive a wedge between the people, and that's their goal. The only way you can destroy a country like America is from within. And again, I go back to our schools. And what are our schools doing? Well, when you have judges that make insane rulings, like was just done, was it in Missouri? Yes. That it was just done. A judge said to a Christian school, you have to allow men who identify as women to stay in women's dormitories. What is wrong with this picture? What do you think, Pastor?
Well, we're denying reality for one thing. And you want to ask that federal judge, do you believe women are real? Do you believe girls are real? Because if you do, then you have to understand that somebody who isn't a woman or isn't a girl is a male. That's the only other choice. We can't be going through these kind of imaginary hoops in our mind to make up things as we go along. We can't allow people who pretend to be a certain gender to become that gender just because they want to play dress up that day. And I don't mean to be disrespectful of those. I mean for us to think of this in terms that are real and concrete, instead of trying to go through some kind of hoops in our minds to convince ourselves that that which is real isn't real. And the biology of male and female is real, and it should be honored. We were created, and there's my pastor side coming out for sure. We were created in the image of God. Who are we to tear that down? If he made someone female, we should honor that. If he made someone male, we should honor that. And we should help people honor that, not help them tear it down by playing and pretending that they are something that God didn't make them to be.
And no matter how much surgery and no matter how many drugs are taken, because again, remember, this is about the money. This is not about the people. Because if you really did a deep dive and a kid happened to say, I identify as a female today, there's a reason for that. What is going on in that child's life that would make him want to say something like that? Maybe he is having an identity problem within himself. Maybe he's upset because he's too short, too tall, too skinny, too fat, and people are picking on him. So he says, oh, well, if they're picking on me and I'm a boy, I'll change and become a girl, and then they won't pick on me. It doesn't work that way, because whatever you do, you take yourself with you. And that doesn't change just because you are trying to mutilate yourself. And yes, it is mutilation. Changing someone's gender is mutilation. Don't you think, Pastor?
And people need to realize that, and they need to realize that it has real consequences. Now, you will hardly ever, in fact, I don't think I ever have until this moment, recommended anything that 60 Minutes has produced. But Leslie Stahl, I believe it was this last week, did a piece in 60 Minutes about this whole problem of gender dysphoria. And she interviewed some people who had gone through surgeries and the hormone treatments and listened to their story. And people don't want to believe us maybe in what we talk about this, but go back and find that and listen to the story of devastation those young men and women describe. It is heartbreaking. Their lives have been changed and can never be put back together in the way they were, and all for nothing. They now realize that they were victims of this whole nonsense. Instead of people rallying to help them, we enabled their destruction. And one of them even seriously considered suicide. I remember one of the people that talked about it, and fortunately did not, but it's heartbreaking. Listen to the people that have been there and been through the horrors and believe them. If you don't want to believe me, believe the people who know from personal experience. And you got to give credit to Leslie Stahl, of all people, to have told that story. It was remarkable.
And so true, because when you deal with children, you will understand. You've seen it in your own family. Today they want to be something, tomorrow they want to be something else. It doesn't make any difference because, as I said before, they are taking themselves with them. So if there is an unhappiness for some reason, then that unhappiness should be dealt with before you go and jump to the conclusion of, oh, I think I'll change my gender today. Folks, there are only two genders. There are only two sexes. Biologically, it is impossible, no matter what you do to yourself, to change your gender. Why can I say that? Because your DNA, your makeup, your stature, your skeleton is part of what your gender is. You're not changing your skeleton. You're not changing your body. You're mutilating your sex organs, but you're certainly not changing anything else in your body. And the hormones mean that you will be drugged for the rest of your life. And when I say drugged for the rest of your life, that should lead everyone to think of the amount of money that is being made by doing this. How dare doctors, after meeting a child for two sessions, determine that that child, it's okay for them to do a life-altering operation that will change their lives forever? How is that fair to that child when it's probably not even a gender issue that's their problem? Yes, there are some people who actually do have a gender problem. Yes, we recognize that. But if you're going to make that kind of a change, wouldn't you think that you would at least be choosing an adult and not a child? This is so wrong to do this to children. It's bad enough that adults get caught up in this, but a child? Think about that. Think about what the child's life is going to be like, knowing that this has been the most destructive force in their lives. And I truly believe that. And it is a shame that we are allowing places like Planned Parenthood and people like psychologists who believe in this. Before your child talks to anyone, do a background check on that person. See what their attitudes are like. See what they are about before you allow your child to have any type of examination done by someone who promotes gender changing. That's the most important thing. You are the watchdog of your child. And as a watchdog, I would suggest that we watch and we pay attention and we listen to our children. If they're having a problem, there's a reason for it. There's always a reason. And the reason is not changing the gender. Well, Pastor, it looks like we are at the close of our show, and I would love to have a prayer because America is in need of a prayer.
Well, we're always happy to do that, and it's true. It's all of us standing in the need of prayer, so let's pray and ask the Father to help us all. Father, we on this Memorial Day weekend give you thanks for the men and women who saw past all of the things that would distract them and us and everybody else and realized that they had a duty. And they honored you and gave the ultimate sacrifice to preserve the gift of liberty you've given to us in this country. And we give you thanks for that and for them. And we pray that you would be with their families as they honor their loved ones. Many of them still know the rawness of those wounds and the keenness of the loss. And I pray that you would be with them as we as a nation give thanks for people who looked beyond their own well-being to the well-being of the future and of their friends and their neighbors. And help us as we fight these fights on all of these transgender issues and others, that we would have wisdom and courage, wisdom to know how and courage to not back down, because that which is real and true and right, we want to be the defenders of our children and the ones who help them find their way through life, not harm them by giving in to their passing notions. Thanks for the privilege of being yours and of working with you to accomplish big things. We are grateful you trust us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we're coming to the end of the show for today. Please visit FloridaCitizensAlliance.com, and you can get there by GOFLCA.com. Sign the petition and urge Governor DeSantis to put in place an executive order to eliminate critical race theory. This is a big one. He has been talking about it for the longest of times, and now it is time for action. If you are going to your school board and you're going to school board meetings, find out the textbooks that they are using and look and see what your children are actually reading. You will find that although they do not mention the word critical race theory, it is filled with programs that are under diversity and equity and inclusion and social justice. Those are all other words that mean the same thing, critical race theory. Be on top of it and don't allow this poison to get into your children's minds, because that will taint them forever. Have a wonderful week. You be the watchdog. That's what America is all about. Americans rising up and standing up for ourselves, our family, and our country. And more than ever, we want to give thanks to all of those fallen heroes for allowing us to continue this incredible country. And we give thanks that we are living in America. Thank you all for listening. This is Karen Schoen, and you have been listening to The Prism of America's Education and with Pastor Rick. Thank you, Pastor, for joining me today.
Always happy to do it, Karen.
But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America. Don't tread on me.